am your host, I guess we can call it that, and Scott had quite an interesting morning. He had people telling him masks were good, people telling him masks stink, people telling him we're going to mandate it, people telling him if you do, I'll sue you. We had quite an interesting morning. Well, we're going to continue that interesting morning. I don't think we're going to be quite that abrupt, but we have with us in the studio Jeffrey Seitz, and now I understand I'm allowed to call him Jeff, but I wanted to give him his full room there with his name, Jeffrey. Wait a minute, I forgot to do something. Hang on just a second, Jeffrey. I got to turn something off here. I forgot to do this. All right, we're going. Nope. Now we're going. I hit the wrong button. Oh, I'm sorry about that, Jeff. Jeff, I'm going to jump right into it. A lot of people remember you when you ran for, this is the 4th District. If you are the person chosen from this district as a Democrat, you will be the person that goes against Jim Jordan. And people remember Shannon...
Fresh Hour,
sorry. She was the one that ran last time, along with my friend, Mike Larson. And you came in second, Mike came in third.
Right.
This year, we're kind of shooting for you because you're so far... You're it, right?
So far.
Well, why don't you tell the people here in Marion? Now, Marion is a fairly Democratic or a fairly Republican area. I would say strongly Republican if you include the fact that we've been gerrymandered in this area.
Right.
But so a lot of people probably don't know a whole lot about you. So why don't you go soup to nuts, unabridged history of Jeffrey Seitz.
Okay. I'm originally from Lima, Ohio. Graduated from Bath High School back in 1985. I joined the Army in 1987 and was a military policeman. Spent all my time over in Germany.
E8? Did you get up? I mean, E5?
E4. E4 corporal. Okay. And got out in late 90. I was then married to a military personnel. So we rotated down to Fort Benning, Georgia, where I was a DOD police officer, and until all the troops came back from the first Gulf War, and then I was laid off, went to work for warehousing, which...
Laid off in the Army?
I was a civilian then. Okay, I was a military spouse then.
I got you.
So I've been both in the military and a military spouse, so I can relate to, you know, what goes on with the military.
Sure.
So I got into warehousing, driving a forklift, moved back to Ohio... And, when was that? 95, I think it was. Went to school, got an associate's degree in applied science, which translates to photography.
Oh, good.
So I could take pictures. Then ended up back in Lima in 98 and went back into warehousing. Had a daughter in 03. Her name is Emily. She'll be 18 this year.
Ah, wonderful.
My, how the time flies.
Yeah, I have a granddaughter that'll be 18 this year. That's a strange age.
Yeah, yeah.
Boyfriends.
Yeah. I've been married a couple times. I'm living with my life partner, I call her now. She's the love of my life. And we've been together about 6 years now. So that's kind of the abridged version of things.
Okay, all right. Well, that gives us the... That answers all the questions I had about your personal life, except what is your daughter going to do if you're going to be out on the road a lot? What is she going to go with you? Have you thought through that yet?
No. We're going to go up to Huron County next week to the fair, so she wants to go along with me on that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes she goes out with me, sometimes she doesn't. So the first time, the last cycle I ran, she was with me in the Allen County Fair tent for the Democrats. So she sometimes goes out with me, but she's old enough. She wants to hang out with her friends.
Sure, of course. So. Well, you know, though, kids are good attractors. That's why I asked. If I had kids when I was running
three years ago, I would have taken my grandkids, if my wife would have allowed me, I would have taken them with me because, you know, the little old ladies come up and pat them on the head and they just love them.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure, please do.
About my daughter. Now, she had a really rough year last year. She was quarantined twice. And then she had to have a surgery done that put her on her stomach for a month and a half. So she really had a bad year. Well, she ended up about May, she came to me. She goes, "Dad, I flunked government." I go, "How can you flunk government when your dad's running for Congress?" So she had to take summer school. They actually talked about Jim Jordan and myself during her class. But she redeemed herself, ended up with an 85. So I'm proud of her for working through that.
Well, with all the stuff that was going on with her, I can imagine.
Yeah, she had a rough year.
Yeah. Now, when I was young, my dad was a minister, and we bounced. Dad was on the fast track to become the bishop of the Methodist Church in Indiana, but that meant he had to go. They kept moving him. Mm-hmm. I went to three high schools, and I didn't flunk anything, but I certainly got a few D's because when your life is messed up like that,
it's a struggle.
Yeah, sure is. All right. Well, so we got Emily taken care of.
Right.
She's going to go when she.
She's going to be a senior.
When she wants to.
Yeah, and when she wants to.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Is she proud of you?
Yeah, I think she is. And even one of my nieces changed her major at Kent State to go into politics because I was running last time. So
fantastic.
She's getting her degree in that. So.
Now, do they have a degree in politics or is it political science?
Political science.
Yeah, yeah. I looked for one when I was running. As you know, I ran in 18 for the state representative. I looked for a political science grad to come help me on my campaign. They're hard to find, especially ones that want to work for free.
Yeah.
Have you hired anybody to help you out?
I have hired a campaign manager. His name is Keith Monday.
Good.
He's up near Cleveland.
Has he done a lot of campaign managing, or this is his first one or second one? Or
he is actually a Bernie guy.
Okay.
He was kind of in on the ground floor when Bernie came in 2016. He helped organize people on the ground. Mm-hmm. So I thought he would be a good fit. He's very knowledgeable with the process.
Well, that throws us into a good question. Are you a Bernie guy?
I am not a Bernie guy. I'm more of a moderate, mm-hmm. but I still believe in a lot of the progressive policies,
mm-hmm.
you know, like health care for all, climate chaos. I call it climate chaos instead of climate change. It's changed. We're here. It's chaos now.
Yeah, some national organization that tracks all that came out last week and said we're beyond the point of return.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I still believe in those policies that a lot of the progressives do, but I know that in Ohio, as red as it is, we need to have a moderate because I don't think the progressive party will win out there in Ohio. But we have to field somebody that believes in some of their policies. That way, we can only win, or if we win, then we can legislate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only way we can do it.
Now that's kind of what the Republican or Democratic Party nationally has done.
Mm-hmm.
When they win, they do policy.
Right.
When they lose, they get hammered by the Republicans.
Yeah.
And I got hammered pretty good. When I was running for state representative, I got about the same vote every other Democrat in this area mm-hmm. got, about 30%, somewhere around there. And it was kind of embarrassing, but also it was eye-opening, and also it achieved something, and maybe you can talk to this when you ran in the primary. It achieved something for me that I really wanted to do. I wanted to get out there and be able to say what I believed.
Right.
And now I assume that's part of why you're running.
Right. I mean, last time, Shannon, Mike, and I, we were in a lot of debates together.
Yeah.
And we had differing ideas on what we wanted to do.
You were pretty similar, though.
But we were similar.
Yeah.
And we were very, we didn't argue a lot with each other. We just wanted to say, hey, you know, these are our different stances on certain issues. But we were all very cordial to each other, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's something that it seems to be a hallmark of the Democratic genre.
Right.
At least being civil with each other, which mm-hmm. is difficult to find within the Republican genre right now.
Right.
Now, that when I was young, I was a Republican, and there was a lot more civility back then than there is now. But
I can say that I think the very first time I was able to vote, I voted for Reagan.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. So, but, you know, over time, I come, and especially with the election of President Obama, I really decided that I belonged in the Democratic mm-hmm. Party.
Well, it's interesting. When you're young, you vote for the best PR. When you, as you get older, you start to look behind the PR. And when you get to my age, you're downright skeptical of PR,
right.
which was my business for 30-some, 40 years. So, in that indirectly my business. I right. was actually in athletics for 18 years, but I was the PR guy for the athletic department. Okay, where was I going with that? I forgot. We'll get back to... So are you expecting, or is it too late for somebody else to jump in to primary you?
No, it's never too late until the filing right. deadline.
You can have write-ins, can't you? Up until...
Yeah, but usually, I think the filing deadline this time around is February 3rd,
February?
Or around there.
Yeah, I knew it was around
so
there.
You can you have until that time to decide whether you want to jump into the race or not.
Okay. Are you expecting other people to jump in?
I have not heard of anybody.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean there's not somebody out there still speculating about it.
I don't think either one of your former opponents are interested.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon... pretty much had got the same vote count that I got. Not real good. Now, you're going against a gentleman who is, I obviously didn't call him a gentleman a couple of weeks ago when I said something very bad on the air.
We'll call him a gentleman.
Yeah, okay. The gentleman you're running against is the chairman or co-chairman of the Freedom Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The Freedom Foundation believes in limited government, limited support through government, very low financial support. They want to be as tight as they can. And yet this district, District 4, which looks like a duck, by the way, which is, we'll talk about that too, District 4 is probably predominantly agricultural business, which is supported by government funding. How in the world, well, first of all, how do you fight a guy that's saying he's that far right, but has to be very far left as far as taking care of his constituents who are ag business? How do you fight that confusion?
Well, if you see a lot of farmers and a lot of the farming community still votes Republican.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that, because we Democrats believe that the climate is changing on us. And if we don't do something about the climate change, then all sorts of things are going to go haywire, including, you know, crops.
And we're not already.
Yeah. Right. And already we start seeing this. So I don't know why the farmers aren't siding with the Democrats, because we're concerned about the climate, which directly affects their income.
Yeah.
And how they work their farms. So I don't quite understand that. And I really want to understand why they're doing that. And plus, Democrats, we don't believe in the big ag.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that in Jordan's FEC file, that he's gotten donations from big ag.
Sure.
So we believe in the family farms. We believe that one of the ways the government is injecting things is to control the market. You know, they ask farmers not to plant, and we'll give you so much money to not to plant. A lot of farmers that I've run into want the free market to dictate what the crop prices are.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. That's what our system of government is all about, a free market economy. So why not have the farmers out there dictating what their crops are gonna bring?
Yeah, and if it's not like the big ag people, they don't care. They just want the money.
Yeah.
They don't care about apparently they don't care about the problems with the wildfires and the heat and stuff like that. But the smaller farmer, when I was running for office, I did a gig down at I was a former musician, that's why I call it a gig. But I did a show down in Marysville, because that's where my district, with the southern part of my district, and there were lots of farmers there. And I talked to a lot of farmers, and most of the older farmers, I could tell, were not interested in talking to me. They were full-on Trumpites. And but I did have two or three of the younger farmers, I would say under 40, come over to me after the fact and kind of try not to be seen talking to me, mm-hmm. but said they supported me and they were going to vote for me because they liked the idea of the honesty. They didn't like the dishonest government that we were looking at. So there may be a change in the weather and also in the direction of our small ag people. Do you sense that at all?
I think so, because what I was going to say was there's a lot of technology that's being used on farms nowadays. It'll help them maximize their yields mm-hmm. and things like that. But also, and I don't want to name the company, there's a company out there that you have to have that company work on your tractor, even though you bought the tractor, because everything is computerized and it's serialized to the specific parts on the tractor. And if one of those parts break, you just can't go down to, you know, TSC and get another part for it, if you can go there. You have to have this company come out to your farm, or you load up your tractor, have it trucked to the nearest place that you can have it worked on.
Ooh, they've sort of cornered the market on the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a right to work on your equipment issue. And a lot of the younger crowd out there is all about right to work on your stuff. You know, Apple is kind of getting on it because, you know, they've moved away from the workable computer where you can just crack it open and replace parts to now soldered parts. Mm-hmm. So if one piece goes wrong on that computer, it's trash
yeah.
unless you pay to get it fixed. Same thing with these farm equipment. Is these farmers, they're working on, you know, slim margins anyways.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't we allow them to fix their own equipment? You know, not to mention they're going to be down for days waiting, you know, to truck it there, truck it back, get it fixed. And, you know, that could be a lot of difference in how the farm operates.
Have you talked to a lot of farmers? You told me you had started your walking around shaking mm-hmm. hands. Have you talked to a lot of farmers yet?
Unfortunately, no. I really want to.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do because they're so far apart.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to know, and that's something that it's a rural district that I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get elected, I can help them.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. It's not just, you know, like Jordan is only about the right. I'm not only going to be about the left. I'm elected for all people.
There you go.
We the people.
That seems to be Mr. Biden's same position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I do a show called A Progressive Life, so all the people that are listening right now know that, and they know where I stand.
Right.
And I am very supportive of our president. But I like the idea of being that transparent and that open to the changes. I assume, and maybe I shouldn't, that you're going to take a similar position, where you're going to stay open to different ideas.
Right. I mean, I've been associated with the military, so obviously I'm pro-military. I was a military policeman, so I'm pro-police. You know, I see in these county fairs already, you know, certain shirts that says don't use my flag or don't kneel on my flag or whatever it is. It's like, well, I look at it as don't use my flag to beat police officers like you saw in the insurrection.
Yeah. And don't use my flag to put an M16 shadow on the top of it. So
yeah.
It's
disrespecting the flag.
I'm a former Boy Scout, I know. But every time I see things like that, including, and I know this is, and it's probably not so positive to say, but I'm not running for office. I find it offensive to see a black and white American flag with a blue or a red stripe or a pink stripe through it, because that's not in our flag code. Mm. That's opposing our flag code. You're not supposed to deface the flag.
Right.
You're not supposed to wear clothes that are made out of the flag. Mm-hmm. And we see an awful lot of that.
You want to support the boys in blue, the girls in blue.
Absolutely.
Fly the local police flag.
Absolutely. Well, or just make sure they know you care about them.
Yeah.
Support the service. I'm a big fan of fiscal responsibility. Now, mm-hmm. that's what the Republican Party was always all about. And when I was young, the Republicans were very interested in fiscal responsibility. It seems like they've gone the opposite direction now. Not saying that the Democrats are being tight-fisted with a $2 trillion bill waiting out there to mm-hmm. be approved. But it's kind of interesting to listen to the talking heads, which I listen to a lot, talking about how much better our economy has become because of the huge spending in the common man. I assume that you consider yourself a common man. I'm guessing if you were a forklift driver, you were a union member for at least some time of your life, were you?
No, I wasn't. Oh, okay. I was a supervisor within a union shop.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I understand how the union works, and I was just supporting some union folks in Lima about their refinery that they're outsourcing to Texas, bringing in labor from Texas instead of using local labor. It's taken, I think, what'd they tell me, $70 million out of the economy in Lima?
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, we need those.
Lima's in bad shape anyway. Yeah. They don't need more of that.
Yeah, so we see Jordan now, you know, yip-yapping about the deficit now and how much money we're spending. And look at the Democrats. They want to do this. We didn't hear a peep out of them the entire time Trump was in office.
When they were trying to give trillions of dollars to the filthy rich. Yeah.
Yeah, $1.5 trillion in tax breaks.
Yeah.
But Trump added a whole bunch of debt to the national debt. Now, when COVID hit, yeah, we had to do something. And we understand that. Now, as a warehouse manager, I know that the supply chains are broke. Everybody's trying to open up quickly. We got labor shortages. So I understand why prices are rising. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Jordan, I believe, has an economics degree from Wisconsin. But yet
master's, I believe.
Is it?
He has three degrees. He actually has a doctorate, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's don't let that out. But, you know, he's talking about inflation and this, that. Well, yeah, it's all about supply and demand. You know, last year we weren't driving everywhere. Mm-hmm. So obviously the supply of gasoline rose, so the prices fell. Supply and demand. So now we're opening back up. Everybody's starting to drive again. So the demand goes up. The gas reserves go down, so prices go back up.
Right.
It's simple economics.
Now, I assume that with the modern move towards electric cars, that will start to fade again eventually. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
No, it's not going to happen tomorrow. I think a lot of projections are between like 2026 and 2030.
Well, that's a lot sooner than I thought. I was thinking 40.
I see a lot of, like Amazon, I think, is trying to switch their entire delivery fleet over by 2030, I believe it is.
Oh, wow.
So that's good. And we see the great disruptors out there of Tesla and, you know, God, who was the other one? Rival or Rivian? Rivian, that are pushing the electric vehicles forward and plowing tons of research into battery technology and things like that. So that forced, you know, for the big threes, you know, Nissan, Toyota, and all them to start creating vehicles.
Hasn't Ford announced a new F-150 electric? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I just saw the Silverado is coming out too. I didn't read it.
If the 150 did, the Silverado was going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all about battery technology, you know, and some of the infrastructure bill goes towards creating charging stations throughout the United States.
Several thousands.
Yeah. So now we can just, you know, start putting in them like gas stations.
I'm always concerned though. Somebody will find a way to make money off of free energy. I mean, obviously, you're not going to plug into electrical thing at a station and get that electricity for nothing.
Right. But, you know, you'll see probably solar technology that helps offset some of that. And you might even see, I don't know, maybe they'll put solar panels on top of the roof of your car so you can charge along.
They already have.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not see that.
I was looking at an electric car the other day on the internet that had solar panels on the top. I also have been looking, I've been looking recently at getting an RV. I have one daughter that lives in North Carolina, a son that lives in California. So I have a lot of traveling to do, and my wife refuses to fly. So we were looking at an RV, and there are several RVs now out that come equipped with electrical panels.
Oh, power. Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Even little ones, a little teardrop with a 100-watt electrical panel on the top.
I mean, we'll get hit on Facebook about, you know, it still takes carbon energy to do this. It's like, yes, I realize this. Until we can create better battery technology, storage facilities, things like that, until that tipping point, and then electric will take over, or solar or wind or whatever it may be, renewables. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start seeing some of that carbon technology move away. But, you know, that's quite a ways off,
I think. Maybe we'll burn ourselves to the ground and we won't care.
Yeah, that too.
My youngest son lives in California. And you want to talk about fires, they have a few of those out there. He's a vineyard. He and his wife and family out there own a vineyard and are winemakers. And if that fire hits that vineyard, they're out of business for a long time because it takes several years to get those to go again. So he's a little concerned about the change. And they have amazing winds out there now because of the solar change. Mm-hmm. Not the solar change, but the, that. And
it's just the environment is changing.
The environmental change is doing it. Now, if somebody is interested, and we're getting toward the end of this hour, and I thought I'd mention this a couple times. Oh, by the way, if you're interested in asking Jeff a question, you feel free to call us. Our phone is open, 740-383-9944. Now, I know I didn't give you any time to go get your pencil, so I'll mention that after I get done. You know, after a few minutes, I'll mention it again so you can call. I know we don't usually take phone calls during this period, but we're going to do it now because we have Jeffrey in the building. So you can call and ask him questions. We're getting close to this end of this quarter hour. What can somebody do if they're interested in helping you or if they're interested in finding out more about your campaign?
You can go to the Twitter or Facebook account, which is Sites for Congress. You can go to Sites for Congress, F-O-R, this time, .com. If you want to volunteer, you can go sitesforcongress.com/volunteer. If you want to donate to the campaign, you can go sitesforcongress.com/donate. And that'll give you information on how to donate, whether it's online or you can send me a check. Everything we're collecting now is all grassroots. So it's low-dollar donations, mostly from people across the nation that don't like Jim Jordan.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine you're getting some from outside of the area.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We are.
Because there are a lot of people that just absolutely... Well, he seems to be a lightning rod for disagreement.
Well, he doesn't want to... be part of the conversation that wants to fix things. He just wants to, as I call it, gripe and complain.
Has he ever passed a bill?
No.
I didn't think
Not
he
that
had.
I'm aware of.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And complained a lot.
Yeah, he's complained a lot. He's probably been on some bills that he's helped co-sponsor, but no original bill from him that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I wasn't either, and I tried to look into it last night. I couldn't find anything about it. But now, I'm going to get in. We still have 10 minutes. I'm going to get into the OSU thing.
Can we skip back for just a second?
Oh, sure. Let's do it.
Jim Jordan has his voting record. We looked into it, and a lot of times Jim Jordan will vote down agriculture bills simply because SNAP is involved in it. Now, I don't know why SNAP is in the agriculture department, but he will vote down any agriculture bill that has any kind of SNAP in it. So even though the greater good of it...
Now, SNAP is the funding for poor women and their children, is it not?
Food stamps, basically. So even though the greater good is for the farmers, because it's an agriculture bill, because that little bit of SNAP is in there, he'll vote it down. So I encourage, you know, if there's any farmers listening, go out, research it for yourself.
So a lady who's trying to get food for her kids, she has to buy food from those farmers.
Right.
And she uses SNAP. He's voting against them using that funding.
And then the farmers can't plant their crops for some odd reason, maybe. And so it's like this vicious circle within that little department.
Now, that woman that's making SNAP probably is making less than $30,000 a year. But yet we can give trillions of dollars to people that are making billions of dollars.
Yeah. And in fact, I think we researched and... Here in Marion County, I believe, don't quote me on this, but we think it's, looking at the numbers, it's 49.5% of children are on SNAP.
Now, I've been told by a teacher, and I don't know if this is true, so also don't quote me on this, that we are nearing, if not completely, to 100% free lunches for our students here in Marion.
You know, I'm okay with that because we have to take care of our children.
I believe that. So that's what this all comes down to.
Yes.
Do you not, including now the gentleman that was speaking just before you came in was our superintendent of schools, and he has decided, and I think he did it by himself. I don't think they had a meeting on it. I think he had to do it because the time was coming. He has decided that there will be a mask mandate for people at our major high school here in this county. Four of the five high schools in this county are not having that, but he is having that. It seems to me, wouldn't you want to err in the side of saving the lives, or at least saving our children from becoming sick of any sort?
Yeah. I mean,
Where do you stand on mandates for masks?
I think we should err on the side of caution. We'll probably start to see the Delta variant go away, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
With more vaccines being in the arms.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that is happening in other countries. Mm-hmm. The Delta is going away.
But it's about protecting our children. And I don't understand what the big deal of it is. It's a mask. It's like school uniforms.
Yes.
You know, we make kids wear school uniforms.
Yeah.
But we can't make them wear a mask, and I don't understand that.
I have decided since the Delta, I've been completely inoculated, and it's been several months since I did it. So I'm supposedly completely vaccinated. I have decided in the last 2 weeks to go back and wear a mask when I go to the grocery store because it's inside, and there's usually people that I get close to, so I wear a mask, and I've gotten a lot of really weird looks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, until this last week, the clerks in the grocery store that I usually go to weren't required to wear a mask for a couple of weeks, and now they are again, which made me feel better. But I have had people look at me, and I was waiting for them to say something. Mm-hmm. I had my fist ready. No, I would never hit anybody. But
you know, it's interesting because my brother, you know, he's disabled. Mm-hmm. He's got a disease called sarcoidosis, which affects his lungs. So he has trouble breathing with a mask on. Yeah, now, he did get COVID. He refuses to get the vaccine. So I understand that he has trouble breathing with a mask on. I understand that. But for a lot of us, it's just about common courtesy for another person.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, why does your brother or brother-in-law?
Brother.
Why does your brother refuse to get the vaccine? I would think he would be
He is a Trump QAnon guy, and no amount of talking will change his mind on this. So I don't talk to him. So, well, at least not about politics.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't understand why we even got politics involved
exactly
in health problems, but it is fully involved.
Yes, it is.
And people that say it isn't, I think, have either their eyes closed or their ears plugged. It's one way or the other.
I mean, they rail against, and even Jordan rails against Fauci.
Yeah.
But
he called him nasty things. But Fauci kicked his butt.
Yeah. But, you know, I just saw something today. It was a medical book that most medical schools use that Fauci helped write. And he's been involved with 7 presidents. So obviously he's looking out for people. You know, and to attack this man when he was really handicapped by Trump, you know, during this whole thing. So he kind of had to walk that tight line to try and help people, but yet don't be bashed by the Trumpsters out there.
Yeah, don't embarrass Trump.
Yeah. And, you know, and now since, you know, he's gone away, now it's open season on Fauci. And the man is just trying to help us.
Yeah, and I listen to him. And he is the person that I listen to the most to find out what I should do. Mm-hmm. The reason why I started wearing my mask again is because he said, I think it's prudent to put a mask on even if you've been inoculated. So,
yeah, but, you know, we've got the Mayo Clinic, we've got the Cleveland Clinic, we've got the CDC, we've got so many sources that we can go out and go, okay, yes, I can read this. Yes, I need to wear a mask.
Yeah, it's a matter of, and one of the things I do on my show, A Progressive Life, I constantly am harping on the idea, get yourself educated. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean you have to go back to college to get educated. Matter of fact, there are a lot of very very right-winged people that are highly educated. My wife and I keep wondering how much money Harvard is paid to educate people the wrong way. But anyway, my father went to Harvard, so I have to be careful of that. Anyway, it just seems to me, well, your opponent is educated and has a JD, which is a Juris Doctorate, from Capital University.
Yep.
And yet when he talks, he sounds ignorant to me. I don't know why he would be that way.
Well, first, he talks way too fast.
Yes, he does. So,
if he just slows down, maybe we can understand what he's saying or trying to say. But, yeah, I mean, and I've talked to people just recently. He said when they knew Jordan in the State House, he was a nice guy. He cared about people, wanted to do right.
When he was running for...
In the state.
State, yeah.
So since he's moved to Congress, he's a changed person, they said.
Well, when he first ran for office, I think he ran in 07 is when he was elected. I was new here in Marion, and my boss kind of required that I go to a meet and greet with Jim Jordan before he had been elected. I was... not very comfortable with him at that point. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even speaking politics. He was just kind of, do you know who you're talking to type of guy.
No.
And I don't like anybody that thinks they're that much smarter than me. I mean, even my children are smarter than me about electronics, but...
That's funny you say that. I ran into a couple people like that in the military, and they one was during a stop, and they were like, "Don't you know who I am?" I was like, "I don't care. Put your hands on the car."
Yeah.
So yeah, I've never met the man. I've only seen him on TV, but I'm looking forward to getting him into a debate and challenging him on his freedoms. Our freedoms are being violated.
He'll just shout you down. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You have to learn how to shout louder than he is. Well, in the next 45 minutes, and Jeffrey's going to be with us through till noon, in the next 45 minutes, I'd like to talk about your position on the policing and the problems mm-hmm. that we've had in policing. If you can, you know, if you become the representative in District 4, what you can do. A lot of the stuff is being kind of stopped at the Senate level, not the congressman level. What can you do? There are a lot of things that a congressman can do and should do, and we'll talk about that, all right?
Okay.
All right, well, you're listening to Glenn Coble. I'm with Jeffrey Sites. My mouth slipped. And we will be back in after about 15 minutes. You can call in 740-383-9944. See, I promised I'd say it again. I've waited a little too long. I'm sorry about that. But stay tuned, and we'll be back after this 15-minute break.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio.